This is the Pitch Vision My Cricket Coach Show, number 51. Hi, you're listening to the Pitch Vision My Cricket Coach Show. You can find us at pitchvision.com and email us on mycricketcoach@pitchvision.com. My name's David Hinchliffe in the UK.
And I'm Kevin Sampath in Australia. Coming up on the show, we explore into the theme of 2020 cricket, and we answer all your 2020 questions for this week. Well, David, the Champions League has been on TV, 2020 cricket, and I'm getting right behind my team. The New South Wales Blues, they look untouchable, David, with a strong bowling attack and a really strong batting attack as well. And as you mentioned before when we were talking, that they really look like a test team on paper. But more importantly, David, my game on the weekend.
Yeah.
It's been a ripper so far. We've had our first day. The other team batted first on their home ground, and we batted first on their home ground. And we ended up with 108, which I thought was about 30 or 42 short, because the pitch had variable balance and it wasn't the best pitch to bat on. But we all kept our heads up. We bowled as well, David, on that day. And so me and the fast bowler I'm sort of nurturing through, who's only about 17 years old, we tried to sort of get a good start. And we did be for our opening partnership for about 12 overs, we got 3 wickets. And at the end of the day, then 6-64, so we're hoping to try and cause an upset and win in the weekend coming up. So get 4 wickets, or they need about 45 runs to win.
Well, yeah, that's quite interesting. Yeah. So what's your plan then to try and get those 4 wickets before they can get the runs?
Yeah. We basically spoke as a bowlers unit before their batting innings that anything we pitched on the stumps, no matter where it bounced, well, on a decent length or fuller, the batsman would always be in doubt about how high it was going to bounce. So basically, that was our plan for the top order batsmen. And we think for the tail enders and the lower order batsmen, it should be the same as well, because they're going to approach it with caution as well.
Speaking of limited overs, you're going to start playing a limited overs competition soon, aren't you?
That's right, David. It's called the Last Man Stands competition. It's 20 over cricket with a few modified rules. But it's going to be a big change, because I've never played 2020 cricket in my life before.
Right.
And especially for my bowling, I'm going to have to learn a lot of my variations, because I'm sure those will come into play. But I'll let you know how that goes, David.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So what's your tactic before you've played a game? What are you thinking about how you're going to bowl? You've only got 4 overs, of course, haven't you?
Yeah, that's right. Basically, I'm going to try and change my pace as much as possible, because I know you shouldn't let the batsman get used to you. And I've also heard, well, I haven't tried this in a game or I haven't seen it tried, but I've also heard that changing your line as well, different balls, not bowling the same line, can help as well. Because watching McGrath bowl in a couple of IPLs back, there were times when he was really effective bowling that same line and length like he usually does. But then there were times where when the really good batsmen were there, if he bowled the same line and length, they just demolished him. So it's all about changing it up.
Yeah, I think you're right there. I think, you know, the job of the bowler is to upset the batsman's rhythm in those limited over games where they're just swinging from the laces. We'll keep us posted on that as well, Kevin. That'll be interesting.
It should. I should take a lot out of that for my normal competition.
Yeah, hopefully, yeah. Even if it's just that, you know, you've got a few more variations and you're a bit more confident when you're batting, that you can, you know, give it the long handle. Even if it's something as simple as that, it's good to sort of have a bit more freedom.
Well, we know we usually have Ian Pond during this time to share with us a tip, but this week we don't have him, unfortunately, so hold back the tears and he'll probably be back soon, so let's get into the questions for today. Welcome to the listeners' question section for today. This week's theme is Everything 2020. David, I hope you're ready. Our first question is from Harry, and he says, I'm a batsman who usually bats at 3 or 4, and I play mostly 20 over cricket. Will that make any difference to the types of fitness training that I do? David, 3 or 4s, I know they're going to do a lot of controlling for the batting order, so they're going to be running heaps of singles, heaps of doubles, and they're not going to be giving it the long handle as much as the 6, 7, 8s. So would you reckon that his fitness training has to be really intense?
I think anyone who's seriously playing 2020 cricket wants to train intensely, because it's an intense format of the game. So you want to be making the most realistic fitness training that you can by having it as intense as you can. You know, you want to reflect the intensity of the game in your training. I don't think it makes a massive amount of difference what sort of cricket you play to the type of training that you do. But yeah, there would be some, you would customise things a little bit, I think, because it is all sort of based on the demands of the game. But just like you'd want to be fit enough to run lots of ones and twos as a number three batsman, and also you want to be powerful enough to hit sixes as a number seven batsman, say, you'd also, the other way around, you'd want to be able to do that as well. You'd still, even if you were a number seven batsman, you'd still want to be able to run lots of ones and twos. And even if you're a number three batsman, you'd still want to be able to hit sixes, even if you're not going to be hitting them as, or trying to hit them as much as, say, a number six or a number seven would be. So in terms of, I don't think, say, the training of, say, a number three batsman will be that different from a number seven batsman. Or, for that matter, I don't think the training for a fast bowler would be that different from the training from an opening batsman, because the general demands are pretty much the same. And there will be some differences, especially around the types of interval training that you do. But generally, you'd be roughly the same. So what would you need to work on? Well, obviously, speed. You want to be doing lots of sprints. And you want to be doing weight training with heavy weights and low reps. Because although the common knowledge, if you like, is that if you do heavy weights and low reps, you get big and bulky. And if you do light weights and high reps, then you tone the muscles. That's just not true. If anything, it's the opposite. If you do heavy weights and low reps, then you get a much more of a neuromuscular response than you do a hypertrophy response. And by that, I just mean your muscles don't get as big by doing high weight and low reps than they do doing lower weight and higher reps. That's why bodybuilders do very high rep training, because they know it builds up their muscles. So and weight training, so that gives you strength, that gives you a base of strength, and then you can do power training as well on top of that, things like clap push-ups, which we've talked about before. Work capacity type training would be more intense. So you'd be thinking about, say, if you're a batsman, then, you know, you'd be thinking about replicating that as closely as possible. How long between balls do you have to stand? How long between overs do you have to stand? And then you can build in running sort of 20, 40, 60 yards, and then resting for a few seconds, and then running it again, and then resting for a few seconds. So sort of reflecting what you're doing on the pitch. And plenty of mobility and flexibility type stretching. So, you know, you're stretching the muscles that you're going to be using when you're hitting the ball, or when you're running, or when you're throwing a ball. So, you know, all those things are important, because you want to use your fitness training for injury prevention as well as for getting stronger and faster. So, I mean, really all those things. Yeah. But if someone said to me, you know, I only play test cricket, what should I do differently? I wouldn't probably make that many changes. Maybe you'd slightly reduce the intensity of the work capacity type training, but you'd still want to be doing weights, you still want to be doing power training, you'd still want to be doing speed work, and you still want to be doing your injury prevention work.
Cool, David. We got a question from a bowler, David, from M. Schofield, and he says, are there any standard bowling tactics used in certain match situations, such as walk to bowl in the last 10 overs of a one-day match or the first 10 overs? Now, I know, David, for a bowler, the last few overs, you usually tend to try and bowl fuller, maybe like Yorker length, so the batsman can't get under the ball as much. But as a batsman, what would you hate to face, David, in different parts of the game?
Yeah, good question. There's a generally accepted method, which is when you first come on to bowl, the opening overs, you're looking to bowl a more, a standard sort of line, a good line and length off stump. The ball hopefully will swing a little bit because it's new, and just sort of back of a length or just back, hitting the top of off stump or maybe slightly higher. And that, that's your traditional method for getting batsmen out in a traditional way, because you'll have maybe you have a couple of slips in at that point. The ball, maybe the ball will be swinging or the ball will be moving off the seam at that point. So you could use those that situation to your advantage. So yeah, that would be the sort of opening few overs. More so in 2020, you'd be probably mixing up the pace a little bit and throwing in slower balls and things like that, but only if you're confident with bowling them. A very common mistake is that a player tries to bowl a variation that they just never practice. So, if it's a spinner, they've got a quicker ball, or if it's a seamer, they've got a slower ball, and they just never practice it. They bowl it once or twice in the nets, and then they think, oh, well, I've got that sorted, and they try and bowl it in a game, and it turns into a long hop or something like that. So the key really there with variations in general is to make sure that you've practiced your variations before you take them out into the middle. And when I say practice them, I don't mean bowl them once or twice in the nets to your mates. I mean actually go and bowl it until you can put it on on exactly the length that you want to put it on. And whether it's the back of the hand ball or whether it's the one where you put it further into your fingers or whatever. Or the myriad of slower balls which are available, then practice it. Pick one and practice it until you get it right. And then once you've got that one right, pick another one and practice it until you get it right. Even if it's just running your fingers down the side of the ball. And it may be that it naturally comes to you. You may have a natural off cutter that you never realised you had, and you don't really need to practice it. It just sort of comes out right. But you still have to go to the nets and make sure that that is the case and it's not just a fluke. So that's the opening overs. And then, sort of, the closer to the end you get, the more people are going to be trying to get under the ball. So you're, as you say, Kevin, you're going to be wanting to try and prevent that from happening as much as possible by pitching the ball up. Yorker length, even full tosses can be useful sometimes. One tactic that the England team have used recently is for Stuart Broad to come and bowl around the wicket and aim the ball sort of as wide outside off stump as possible without bowling a wide. Now that's an interesting tactic, and pitch right up, because the only place you can hit that is through the offside. So they stack the offside with fielders, aim to bowl the ball what as wide outside off stump as possible and quite full, and then know that you've got loads of fielders on that side, so hopefully the batsman won't be able to do anything about it. The only problem with that tactic is it's very easy to bowl a wide, and then it sort of messes up a bit if you do that. So that, but that, but
exactly.
that is a tactic that England have used to sort of mix success. And of course, Yorkers, not only straight Yorkers, but also wide Yorkers as well. Anything that's not a wide, that is but is full, is going to be difficult for the batsman to swing at. So aim at his toes as much as you can. The other thing that has worked sometimes on certain pitches in certain situations, especially sort of in the middle overs, is if you can get the ball up around the batsman's ribs, that kind of area, then that can be very hard to play as well, because you're quite limited to where you can play the ball from there. But if you get it wrong, of course, you can just be smashed. You can be just be smashed away easily. So again, that's a bit of a difficult thing to do. But you can bounce in certain situations. You can bounce teams out, but you do need to have a relatively quick bowler, I think, for that, or at least a relatively quick pitch, if not a relatively quick bowler, to be able to get away with that. So those are the sort of some of the standard tactics. But I would always encourage people to try and think of their own ways of doing things as well. Just because something's always been done in a certain way doesn't necessarily mean that you have to do it in that way. Try something unusual. You never know, it might work, especially in 2020 cricket. there's been so many innovations and tactical innovations and bringing back old ideas and doing all kinds of crazy things that since it started being playing at the professional level, that, you know, why can't you try something? If you think it might work, if it's based in common sense, then try something. I don't know the standard tactics, but also know when to go away from the standard tactics.
Couldn't agree more, David. Our next question is from Sunil, and he says, our team's very bad at chasing down runs in our games. He also says, we play 20 overs, but we always seem to panic when we are looking to get a big total. We go for too many shots, and we end up getting bowled out. Can you help? Now, David, I seem to think that this is a problem with the mental side of cricket. They may be decent batsmen, but he says that they seem to panic, which could be a really mental problem. Should they actually start practicing these situations more, maybe go to the field and start scenario-based training?
Definitely, that will be a good idea, just so you're used to the idea of what it's like when you're chasing down a target. When you're actually out in the middle, there's a few things that you can do to sort of keep calm. The key, as you say, is it's a psychological thing, is to keep calm and stay in the game. Don't feel like you have to start slogging from ball one just because the opposition's got a big total. I think the key there is to split it down as much as possible. So you split down. Say, you know, your 20 overs into three different segments, the opening few overs, the middle overs, and the death. And then you say to yourself, right, we want to have X number of runs after the first six overs. You want to have X number of runs when we get to sort of 12 or 13 overs. And then that'll leave us with X number of runs to get at the end. So you're breaking the target down into sort of more manageable chunks. And then when you're actually out in the middle, there are tactics you can do to keep the percentages as high as possible, but still sort of have extra run scoring options. So, for example, before the bowler even runs into bowl, the chances are there'll be some kind of fielding restriction in play. So have a look around, see where the gap is. See if you can work the ball into a gap. Be careful, of course, because if you're talking about, say, a left-arm spinner, then it's a bit risky trying to heave him over mid-wicket if you're a right-handed batsman, because you're playing against the spin. So, you know, maybe have a look at the playing with the spin. You know, maybe it's a late cut would be a better shot for you, or maybe you can try and hit the ball a little bit straighter, but not on the onside. You know, hit it straight on the offside, and you're still playing with the spin, but you're also playing with the full face of the bat. So always think to yourself, right, what's the bowler trying to do? I'm going to sort of try and counter whatever he's trying to do. It's amazing how you can turn zero runs into one run and one run into two runs and two runs into three runs if you really try. And it's also amazing how many runs... I mean, I see this regularly on Saturdays. I mean, okay, this is in a slightly longer format, more 50-over cricket. But in club cricket, I see so many runs which are just turned down that wouldn't be turned down if you were going for a bit of a scrabble of a run chase. And you think to yourself, well, what's really the difference? There's no real difference. Yeah. There's a slight risk to taking that extra run there, but it's only a slight risk. But I see so many of those runs turned down, especially early in innings. But if you're running hard from the first ball, then if you can add an extra 20 or 25 runs to your total just by running those extra runs hard, then that's going to make a huge difference.
Yeah, exactly.
And don't lose your technique just because you need to chase down a big total, you know.
Yeah.
That's the other thing. When you're batting, you think, right, I've got to hit a big shot here to, you know, we need a couple of boundaries to get back into the game. So you lose all your shape and you start trying to smash it, you know, somewhere where you shouldn't be smashing it. You can still play proper cricket shots and hit it for six. A straight six back over the bowler's head is still a six. You don't have to. Yeah. You don't have to cream it over square leg. You don't have to, smack it over your own head and over the wicketkeeper's head for a one bounce four.
Yeah.
You don't have to step inside the line and knock it past the short third man. You don't have to play a reverse sweep. You can play orthodox cricket shots and still score very, very quickly. So I'd say play to your strengths. Try and score as quickly as you can. but keep the percentages as high as you possibly can. I mean, when you're going for big runs at the end, there's always going to be an element of risk. But as long as you're thinking about it, sort of engaging your brain, if you like, then you're going to be less likely to be getting out.
Yeah.
And there's a very good course on that, actually, on Pitch Vision Academy. Gary Palmer's done How to Bat in 2020 Cricket. And he gives you all the options for all the different types of bowlers. He gives you all the options from the safest option to the least safe option. And also the options you should never try against this type of bowler. And he shows you how to play all those shots. So that's quite a good course. That is all video based. So have a look at that if you play a lot of 2020 cricket or any kind of limited over cricket.
Now, David, Sunil seems to panic when they're looking to get a big total. But we have a question from an anonymous person asking, what factors or things do you have to consider or think about when you're deciding to set a total or a chase? I seem to think that the pitch plays a massive role in this, David, and the weather maybe. But are there any other things that you could see that seem important when deciding the perfect total?
When deciding to set a total or whether to chase a total down?
They've asked for both, David. So
yeah.
When to set a total or to chase?
Yeah, exactly. So you win the toss. What do you do? That's what they mean, I think.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So, all right. So, you've won the toss. What do you do? Well, generally speaking, if you're playing short, the shorter the format, the less the influence that the weather and the pitch has on the game, because it's going to be more equal for both sides. There's no time for the pitch to deteriorate. There's no time really for the weather conditions to change. Obviously, they can change. But generally speaking, yeah, it's less likely to happen. You're more likely to have the same weather conditions and the same pitch conditions throughout an entire match when you're playing 2020 or less than you are if you're playing an afternoon game or a two-day game or whatever. So
yeah,
for that reason, when in doubt, if you're not sure what to do, chase. Because yeah, it's slightly easier to chase than it is to set a target. And the reason is purely psychological. Again, it's that it's a lot easier to reach a target that you already know what it is than to set a target that you've got a vague idea what it might be, but you don't really know what it is. You're not really sure whether 110 is a good total or whether 200 is a good total.
Yeah.
If you're not really sure, I mean, probably that's too wide a spread, but you know what I mean. You're not quite sure how many runs you're going to need. So unlike, say, declaration cricket, where you want to bat first more times than not because it gives you control of the game, with 20-over
yeah,
cricket, you want the chase because it's a lot easier. Now,
yeah,
the exception, I suppose, to that would be if you look at your bowling attack compared to their batting attack and your own
yeah,
batting attack as well. If your bowling is very good, yeah, so I'm thinking of, say, something like the Sri Lanka 2020 team, to give you an example.
Yeah.
They've got a very good bowling attack. They've got a very good batting attack as well, but they've got an exceptional bowling attack. I mean, they've got two exceptional spinners and one brilliant death bowler. So when you've got, you know,
yeah,
so that's 12 of your overs already where you're thinking, gosh, you know, that's going to be hard to get the necessary runs against those guys. So
yeah,
if you've got a very good bowling attack, then you probably would want to bat first in that situation because you know pretty much whatever target you've set, you can bowl them out for less.
Yeah.
Or even if you can't bowl them out, you can restrict them to less just by having, you know,
yeah,
extremely effective spinners or a very good death bowler or whatever it is. So that would be the only circumstance really that I would think about batting first.
Yeah.
Because most of the time it's just easier to chase in 2020 cricket.
David, our next question is from Curtis, and we've spoken about this altering batting technique for 2020 cricket before, but he asks,
yeah,
should I make any changes to my batting technique when playing 2020 cricket? David, as you mentioned before, that orthodox shots do work. We've seen it in the Champions League most recently. We've seen it in the World 2020 World Cup as well, most recently, that cricket, real cricket shots do work. But is there anything else that you've had to add for Curtis David?
Yeah. The basics stay the same in any format of the game. Just because you've got less time to score the runs doesn't mean you should abandon good technique. So even good 2020 batsmen have good basic technique, and they know how to play with a straight bat. So, you know, it's Gary Palmer who talks about the ABCs, you know, alignment, balance, completion of shot. Those things don't change whether you're hitting a six or whether you're pushing it for a single. So get those things right. Get the basics of technique right, and you'll see yourself in good stead no matter what format that you play. That said, you are going to have to take in greater risks, especially towards the end of an innings, because you need to score at a more rapid rate than you do if you're playing a longer game. So, yeah, you need to manufacture boundaries sometimes. And there's different ways of doing that. The most effective way of doing that is to use the Gary Palmer's trick of taking a big pace back in across as if you're going to sort of play a back foot drive or something like that. So you imagine your back foot goes right back towards the off stump. And then from that position, you use that almost as a trigger move. And then from that position, you're in a position to play almost every shot. You can lean back into the ball and drive it through mid-on, mid-off, extra cover. You're in a perfect position to cut. You can cut it. You're in a perfect position to pull. You can pull it. So pretty much any length, you can play a decent shot to it. That's probably the safest way for all out hitting, because all of those shots are just a slight variation on what is an orthodox shot anyway. The other options are that you step inside the line of the ball. That's particularly good if the ball is sort of coming into you. You step inside the line of the ball, then you help it on its way. And you can even sort of go down on one knee and hit it over square leg or something like that for a much riskier shot. Or you can go the other way. You can make room, and that's good for bowlers who move the ball away from you. So you step back away from the ball, and then try and hit it sort of over extra cover, making room. And then there's the old classic, the clearing the front leg. Well, you stand where you are, you get your left leg out of the way, and you just try and mow it over cow corner. Now, but even that shot, you can do with a decent amount of shape, and you can play that shot bringing the bottom hand in relatively late, so you're impacting the ball with as much of the face of the bat as you can manage. You don't have to bring your bottom hand in straight away to do that, because the quicker you bring in the bottom hand, the better your hand-eye coordination has to be to make contact with the ball properly. So those are just some options there. And it's the same again, really. Always calculate what shots are on and what shots are not on. Keep your shape as much as you can and play the highest percentage shot possible to score the number of runs that you need. If you need to hit a boundary, maybe you are going to have to play a relatively low percentage shot to try and do that. But on the other hand, you might not need to. If you step back and across and the guy bowls you a half volley, then you can just cream it back over his head.
Yeah.
So that's a long answer to a short question. But basically, don't change things too much, but just kind of build on your basic technique and practice. Practice it all. Get in the nets and practice it. Don't just try and do it when you're out in the middle. Practice, practice, practice.
Speaking about high percentage shots, David, Mark has a question, and he asks, how do you work out when to go for the big shots in the final few overs? So is it a matter of waiting for the right ball to play the high percentage shots for four, David, or do you just give everything the long handle, or does it really depend on the situation?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, the key there is that it depends on the situation, but let's assume that you're setting a target. There's not really any hard and fast rules to this. The general consensus seems to be you kind of go when there's, you know, maybe six, seven overs, something like that. And when I say go, you just try start trying to smash everything, or pretty much everything. You stop trying to work the ball into the gaps and hitting the odd boundary, and you start actually trying to smash everything.
Yeah.
And there's always going to be a point where that comes in pretty much all setting a target style situations. But there's no, I've never heard or read or seen any kind of method to it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
No one's ever said, ever said, right, when you get to five overs, you must start trying to smash it. And I think that's probably because there's quite a lot of factors that you need to think about, like what strength of batting you've got available to you, because it's no good saying, right, we're going to go in the 12th over, for example, the 13th over, if you're 7 wickets down at the time.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you're probably going to get bowled out if you do something like that. And also, it also depends who's bowling is the other thing, because you may be able to sort of attack a specific bowler who's a weaker bowler, rather than waiting to the last few overs where probably the best death bowlers are on. So it can depend. Yeah. As somebody once posted on the My Cricket Coach page, is a sort of general guideline, which I quite liked. I've no idea whether this works. It'd be interesting to see how, you know, if someone out there can run some kind of statistical analysis of it or something. I don't know. I don't know enough about maths to be able to do anything like that. But the guide was, if you've got 7 wickets left, you go in the 15th over. If you've got 5 wickets left, you go in the 16th over. If you've got 3 wickets left, you go in the 18th over. And if you've got 1 wicket left, you probably have to go only in the last few balls. So maybe you try and hit the last 2 or 3 balls for a boundary. Because you don't want to, you don't want to miss out on any balls, because you get out, everyone gets bowled out. So that's a good general guideline. Yeah. But I'm sure people are already thinking when they're listening to this, hang on a minute, that completely depends on the situation. And you're absolutely right; it does completely depend on the situation. But I think that's quite a good general guideline. I mean, you can probably play with the numbers a little bit. Maybe you say you change it to the 14th over instead of the 15th or whatever, or, you know. But generally speaking, I'd say that's probably a fairly good guide. And then you just adapt that to the particular situation that you're in, the strength of your batting lineup, the strength of the opposition's bowling lineup, the condition of the wicket, all those extra things that you have to factor in. But I find it quite interesting that nobody really talks, even at the top level, nobody really talks about it. Do you find that? I mean, you watch quite a lot of cricket, don't you? I don't ever hear commentators really talking about it.
Yeah, I think it's because, well, the concept isn't that new, but it's still taking a lot of getting used to by commentators, coaches around the world. Like, there's still a lot of fine-tuning. I know John Buchanan wrote a book recently on 2020 cricket, and he didn't really mention much on the tactics regarding 2020 cricket as such, because it still is a very unknown area. And I think as more games are played, as they are at the moment, a fair balance can be found out. But yeah, it really is depending on the situation. I mean, because different teams are in different positions, different teams play on different types of pitches for 2020 cricket, so it's really hard to get a sort of predetermined criteria for when to go for the big shots or whatever.
Yeah, but it would be good to know when you're out in the middle, you know, if you're playing out in a 2020 game and you're out in the middle and you've got to make that decision when to go, it'd be nice to have an idea, at least in the back of your mind, of thinking, okay, right, so we've still got 4 wickets left to play with here, so maybe we'll go when there's 4 overs left, because when we're going for the big hits, we're going to probably lose some wickets. But if we've got 4 wickets left, you know, maybe we can get away with that if we lose 1 wicket and over or something like that. But no one's ever sort of sat down and said anything like that. But when you compare that to, say, 50 over cricket, it's generally accepted that you go in the last 10, unless something's gone seriously wrong.
Exactly.
But there isn't really that. There isn't really that for 2020 yet. I don't think. think. So it'd be interesting to see how that develops, especially at the top level, because that will whatever happens at the top level tends to filter down to club level fairly quickly.
Yes. Don't forget that you can catch all the articles, updates, forums, and anything you hear about on the show on www.pitchvision.com. Stay tuned for our next show on the 23rd of October. There will be no theme this show, so we'll accept all questions, any questions at all, or if you have any feedback to add, please email us at mycricketcoach@pitchvision.com. That's mycricketcoach@pitchvision.com. Thank you for listening, and we hope to see you next time. So this is Ken Sampath from Sydney, Australia.
And this is David Hinchcliffe in the UK.
The My Cricket Coach Show is a copyright-protected production for Pitch Vision. For more information, please visit pitchvision.com.